Thank you. It's time to say hello to the people on Zoom.
There's nine
who did not go out into the cold. Okay. God bless you for that. All right. Excellent. Very good. Very good. So I'm glad all of you are here for this morning. I just want to point out one thing before I get into what I prepared for you this morning in that reading from Nehemiah that Bobby read just a minute ago. The very last verse, and the joy of the Lord was their strength. You'll catch that. If you don't catch what I'm going to do with the sermon, that's okay. If you catch this, that'd be great. And it's this. Did you notice whose joy it is? It's God's joy. It's the joy of the Lord. And they may not have been happy at all there, but the joy of the Lord was their strength. And that's something that's always there for us. The joy the Lord has over us is our strength, no matter what else has gone on in our lives. Because there's things that go in our lives that don't make us happy sometimes. Isn't that right? Yeah, okay. All right, good. Don't lie in church. You know it's right. Okay. Here is what I have prepared to share with you today, and it has to do with Jesus saying in the gospel reading, it's also the last verse in the gospel, and that is, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. I want to unpack that a little bit, because that goes on right here and now as well. In our days in Pennsylvania, one Sunday morning, we were singing to the Lord and all that in the opening. And we usually had three or four opening songs. I don't know, they just liked doing that. So once after the opening songs, one of the members came up to me and said, while we were singing, there was a problem I've had in my back and it has been healed. Nobody prayed for that person. A doctor wasn't present to prescribe anything, or a chiropractor or anything like that. Just the touch of the Lord upon that person during the opening songs of praise. And of course, you might recall Psalm 22, that the Lord is enthroned on the praises of his people. And part of being enthroned on that are the signs of his kingdom. And some, one of those signs, of course, is healing. So that just happened just right there like that. Now, of course, that doesn't always happen, but it happened there. And that can happen here. In fact, that can happen anywhere. That can happen at any time. And that's what Jesus is saying, that the Lord is present right here and right now, always. And wherever you are always right here, right now, wherever it is. And that's where the Lord is, and that's where the Lord is active. And from time to time, I will sometimes in different ways encourage you to put aside any church business that you may to attend to so that you can focus primarily and fully on the presence of God and offering our lives fully to God in worship. I think I had a recent newsletter about that. That's... See, what's important about that is not that the business doesn't get done, but that we engage with the one who's here, right here and right now. And of course, a lot of people do that. We all do it. And I'll let you in a little secret. Clergy are the worst at that. They're just the worst. I mean, some of you may have a close second, but clergy are the worst. You know, making sure things are done and all this, thinking about it during the passing of the peace or whenever and all that. And to be able to take the time, at least during the liturgy, to put that aside, to engage with the presence of the Lord, which is right here and right now, is what it is to stand on the platform of the Christian life. Because the Christian life is not getting things done. It is being with Jesus. When you're being with Jesus, fruit will be born, and those are things that get done. But it's primarily being with Jesus. So, you know, We all have the temptation during the piece to check in with somebody when you go up and find them and say, well, you know that email I sent this week, did you get that? or anything else, all kinds of things like that. You make sure your friend is here during the opening songs, that you want to make sure you talk to them about that thing that you need to do. That's fine. Now, sometimes you need to do things. And in fact, I think you should do the things you need to do. And if there are things you can only do here, and this is when you're here, those are the times you do those things. Except don't spend the whole time on those things. For us to spend the bulk of our time and our energy and our love and our attention and our offering to the presence of Jesus right here and right now is what we're called to do. And other things you can do too, but that would be on the top. That'd be the reason that we show up. It's why we get up on Sunday and drive over here or get on Zoom or whatever it may be. So they're going to do that together. Well, I think you get the idea of that. See, I don't think I'm being vague about that. See, God's aim when we come together is to fully heal and fully reveal the fullness of the love God has for us. Whenever we're together, right here, right now, today, right at this moment, the thing that God wants each of us to get right at this moment is the fullness of his healing and the revelation of who he is right now. That's the idea. So that's what Jesus is talking about here to his hometown synagogue, where he grew up, where they knew him as a little boy, where they saw him running around and all that kind of stuff. And here he is now, 30 years old, and he shows up and it's his first sermon after the baptism by John. It's his keynote address, and it outlines the priorities of his public ministry, and it's what he follows all the way through everything: crucifixion, resurrection, ascension into heaven, pouring out of the Spirit, right up to today, right here and right now. This is what Jesus is about, up to, and doing, even among us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. It's one thing Jesus is up to proclaim release to the captives. Any captivity that you might feel, experience, or know, Jesus has come to bring release for that. Recovery of sight to the blind, any kind of blindness you think about. Letting the oppressed go free. Any oppression you feel or you know of other oppression that's around, Jesus is about setting people free from that. And to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's the favor that we have in Jesus, proclaiming that all the time. And his timeline for that is today, right now. Now, the people of Israel, especially the ones in the synagogue who heard this, but everyone in Israel at that time, they had a great hope in the establishment of the kingdom of God. And the way that they perceived it was this: that the Messiah would come and would throw off the oppressive Roman Empire that was dominating the world and dominating Israel. That they would come, the Messiah would come and just conquer them, overcome them, and get rid of them. And they hoped for that day to come sometime in the future. And then Jesus said something different. He said, no, it's right here, right now. And it's the way that I'm doing it, not the way that you might think it's going to happen. Did you ever notice that about Jesus? He says, you know, yes, we can do that thing you just prayed for. Maybe not the way you were thinking, but yes, here we go. And off you go into something that you hadn't imagined. Jesus was saying, I am the King. I am the Messiah. And they resisted it. They didn't want that kind of King and that kind of Messiah. because it wasn't going the way they had imagined that it would go. And they didn't think that it would be right here, right now. So they resisted it. And in this story, as it goes on, we didn't get to reading it today, but as the story goes on, we see that they got up, they took him out to the edge of a cliff, and they were going to throw him over. I mean, they resisted this. They just didn't like this at all. But he was able to just walk through and go on his way and continue on with the public ministry he had for the next few years. But they were really, really resisting it. They were mad. You know, who is this guy? We saw him when he was a little kid. We know his mother and father. What's going on? And they wanted to get rid of him. Now, what's challenging about that is this. Is to look in the mirror. Hold the mirror up. Hold this gospel up as a mirror and ask ourselves, how might we be resisting the lordship of Jesus in this way? You know, what's your reaction to the idea that Jesus is present and active right here and right now? And that what we are to do is to discern that presence, pick up on it, and join in with Jesus in whatever Jesus wants to do, in whatever way Jesus wants to do it. As an academic exercise, we say, oh yeah, that's great, I'm all in. When it comes down to actually doing it, there may be things that we resist because we want Jesus to do certain things, certain ways, at certain times, and we want to see it the way that we are expecting it to happen. And Jesus may do it in a completely different manner. We can be like the people in Jesus' home synagogue who wanted their Messiah to act very differently than the way Jesus acted. Now, what happens? It happens with me, maybe it happens with you, is this. We're thinking, okay, I'm asking for this, I'm praying for this, I'm looking for this, and I want Jesus to really come through and take care of this and act on it. I mean, I want to see Jesus act on this right now, and this is what I'm looking for. And when that doesn't happen, it can be tempting to think a couple things. And one of them is this, that Jesus is being too hard on me. It's not happening because Jesus doesn't like me. Or I did something wrong, and so Jesus is not going to listen to me. Or I'm just not up to the par I need to be as a Christian, so Jesus isn't going to answer. But that's not Jesus. You might recall the description that John the Baptist gave of him when he said about Jesus, a bruised reed he will not break. And, you know, those reeds you see different places around here, the shafts of the reed, they can be delicate, especially when they're bruised. And one of the most delicate things that there is in nature, Jesus will not break it. Which I take to mean, you and I may have places that are bruised on our soul, or places of fear and anxiety, or places even of resentment, and we want Jesus to do certain things, and we want him to get them done in a certain way, but he's not going to do it, and so we can jump to that thought, it's because of me, or the way that I'm asking, and Jesus saying, no. A bruised reed I will not break. That place that hurts within you, the ache you have in your soul, the thing that you want to see so badly and it's just not coming, I'm not going to break that. I'm just going about it this way. Come with me. Follow me, is what he would ask. Or another thing that we can do. Now, keep in mind what I mentioned a few minutes ago. Clergy do this too, and sometimes are the worst offenders. And in fact, if you say that somewhere else, I won't deny it. I'll say, yes, I said that. That's true. Another thing that we can do is this. We find ourselves wanting to keep Jesus at arm's length or further. even when we're asking Jesus to do things. And I mean, I don't want to let us off the hook with this thought, but there's a lot of ways in which that's not our fault. If you think that, you think, well, Jesus, he's way out there, and that's fine, and I'm comfortable with that. That's sort of like I want it to be a lot of times. But we were raised in a culture for hundreds of years that said, what we need to do is to do things on our own. We need to show our own ingenuity, our own energy, our own capacity, our own hard work, and get that done, and get that done on our own. Those of you who like the history of philosophy, it's kind of the philosophy of the Enlightenment. And that is, you know, we're betting that we're able to do this without the help of God. We can do that on our own. That's just permeating our culture. It's all over wherever we go. And that's one of the ways that happens. And we get that into our soul. And we start thinking, well, these things that I'm praying for, I'm asking God to watch over that so that I can take care of that myself. There's things that I got to do. I know I got to do it correctly and do it right and go at it with all that I have or as much as I think I can do and just go for it. And then if God's interested and God wants to come along and maybe say something or do something, that's fine. That's all over our culture. And it seeps into us. And, I've mentioned in the past a few times, what that is deism. That is not the Christian faith. It's a deistic view of God. God's out there. That's great. I can do it by myself. And if God's interested, maybe can drop something in to help out. For us, what Jesus is saying is follow me, because I'm here, right now, with all the power that I want to pour into you. There's dreams I want to pour into you and the power that I have to do them. Follow me in the way that goes. And you'll get to a place you've never imagined. See, the Jesus that we see in the Gospels, this one at that synagogue, reveals the love of God like this. Jesus is more interested in the desire of our hearts than we are. And Jesus is more interested in having those desires come about than we are. Take the list of desires you may have that you think this needs to happen, that needs to happen, whether it's in your own life, something else that's going on, life of some friends of yours, circle of friends, whatever, life of our country, whatever, you pick it. And Jesus is saying, I want what you want more than you do. It's as if Jesus was saying to Israel, I want this nation to be free of the Roman Empire more than you do. And that's why I'm going this way. Follow me. I want to have good news to the poor more than you do. That's why I'm doing it this way. I want to release the captives more than you do. I want recovery of sight to the blind more than you do. And so that's why I'm going this way. Come with me, and all the desires of your heart will be fulfilled. Follow me, even though it would transform you, even though there'll be changes that go on within you, those changes will make you more like me, which is where we're headed for. That's where we're going. That's our goal. So that all of this can happen. And that, of course, raises the challenge. Of relating to Jesus right here and right now, wherever we are, right here and right now, in worship. If it's not going the way that you think it ought to go, can you engage with Jesus right here and right now? In the way things are going in any area, can you engage with Jesus right here and right now? When you leave today to go home, can you engage with Jesus right here, right now? On the way home, at home, or wherever you're going after this. All of that, anytime, all the time. When you're frustrated and thinking this isn't going to work, nothing's happening, Jesus is saying, but I am here, right here. And right now, it's us turning our eyes upon Jesus and not so much the goal that we think needs to happen. Because he wants that more than we do anyway. And when we follow him, it'll get to the place that it was meant to be, that it was created to be. So, with that, let me ask you the question that I so often ask. What is Jesus prompting in you, putting in your heart and mind right now about the very thought that he is here and always is, right here and right now? Let him give you a few steps to take in that direction. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we recognize you as the Lord of all. We recognize you as the one who is gentle with us as anyone could ever be. That in the places where we are bruised, you will not break them. In the places where we want to keep it at arm's length, you will not hold that against us. And that in the desires that you have placed within our hearts, we know you want them more than we do. And so we ask this morning, open our eyes to see you right here and right now, wherever we may be. All for the glory of your name. Amen.